inside of me that is stronger than I am that makes me do these things. In other words, but I can't help myself. And we all say that, and it's, you know, we say before conversion, and we say after conversion, you know, sometimes, you know, I can't help myself. I just did it, or I just the sin I just committed. So to me, it's encouraging to say that in Paul's writing, and to read through that. Maybe this lack of self-control from time to time, but again, we know that the Christian faith is not a faith for losers, and it is possible to have self-control. In other words, America, so much like America, or in other words, in it, we'll say America, America, God, in thy every flow, confirm thy soul in self-control, and liberty and law. Self-control for mention. You know, self-control is one of the things that has made this nation great. It is one of the things that has given us our freedom, self-control. We are not a nation where anything goes. We are a nation of self-control. Or are we? That's just a rivalry. That's what I'm talking about, right? But no, we're really not a nation of self-control. You know, self-control one time was a concept that was taught to little children. It was honored as a goal, self-control. It was part of being a just a human being to have self-control. And yet, it seems like, you know, the 60s generation came along with the hippie movement and says, you know, if it feels good, do it. And repression was looked at as unhealthy. And we were told, you know, it wouldn't be good to others. You've got to be good to yourself. And expressing yourself was not all. It was all important. But so expressing myself now, you know, leading home and children for a better lover. So the expressing oneself and choosing an alternative lifestyle. Or maybe the gay or homosexual community in the same sex marriage. Or living again, no longer being a mother, but competing with men in the workforce and the idea that I can work 12 hours a day and come home and be a mother also. So America began to confirm thy soul in self-control. Self-control and the lack of it. And you can talk about, you know, about any area that you're limited to free sex, or 13 years old, having babies, or sexual transmitted disease. I think one of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard of lack of self-control in this area are people who actually commit suicide. They actually begin a relationship, a sexual relationship, and they know that their partner has the AIDS virus. And because of lack of self-control, they go in with this. When you're talking about heterosexual or homosexual, two partners go in with this. And knowing what's going to happen, knowing that they're going to commit suicide, lack of self-control, fatherless families, the soaring divorce rate, drugs, violence, all of these areas. And so one thing, you know, I talk about is temperance or self-control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passion is the definition that the Bible gives us. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passion. I read to you several stories here from a book I've been reading entitled Truth Calls by William Backus and Marie Chaplin. Several dialogues here that I think you can identify yourself with any of these stories when it comes to lack of self-control. He gives us one story. He says, Anne's eyes are downcast, her voice low and quivering. It just all seems so hopeless. Sort of, well, like I'll always be in this awful rut. Like there's no way out. I just can't seem to get going on anything. I mean, God knows I pray and pray, but nothing ever seems to happen. Our prayers are just never answered. It just seems so hopeless. Tears fly down her cheeks. I expected Jesus to change me when I gave my life to him 5 years ago. And he certainly has. There are so many things in my life that have really changed for better. And he has blessed me in so many ways. But there's one thing I just can't seem to get anywhere with, and that is self-control. You know what I mean? She continues miserably. See, I need a job, but I just don't go out and look for one. I always make some excuse for not going out, although I do read the ads, and sometimes I find certain jobs that look good. But I need to lose weight, as you can see, at least 3 pounds. I want to get down to just can't do it. I prayed and prayed about this, and then I just can't seem to get going. The next 40 minutes, Aaron delivers a baggage of candles, each one prefaced by the sentence, "It's all seems so hopeless," or "I can't," or "I lack." And finally, the crunch, "God doesn't care about me. If He did, He would change me." That's one cool story. Let's go ahead and read a few more here. It says, "David is a handsome 35-year-old used car salesman. His eyes twinkle, his bright smile fades. He explains, it's like I'm a victim or something. You should see the paperwork I've got to do to return it. And I just can't get to it. My discipline stinks, and that's not all. I'm late everywhere I go. I never sleep. I do a lot of things I really shouldn't do. I've always been an excuse, though. But this month, my being late cost me $3,300. The month before, being late cost me $22. I can't keep on like this." Again, the lack of self-control. Another story here. Shirley Babs, cigarette out in the already overflowing ashtrays of butts. "I've left it this morning, but I don't have the self-control. I'll probably croak of lung cancer. My dying words will be, God like. I've tried quitting, and once I lasted 3 months without taking a single drag of a cigarette. But here I am smoking 2 packs a day. Some people have the self-control, and others like me don't." Elaine, a strong mother of two children, cries, "I feel like I'm a rubber ball just bouncing along where I'm from. I make all sorts of new resolutions, like how I'm going to get into reading the Bible, or how I'm going to start exercising to get rid of this flab on my body, or how I'm going to get the house clean by noon, and then do this or that. But then I'll sit all day long at home, or I'll watch soap operas instead of reading my Bible, or I'll eat a dish of ice cream wishing I were thin. Where is self-control in my life? Aren't I supposed to have self-control? Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit?" Well, indeed it is. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's look at that in Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. I don't know if we actually think of one of the fruits of the Spirit as something as simple. Self-control, but indeed it is. Galatians 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And there's the word temperance. "Against such there is no law. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passion." And maybe you've been waiting for God to give you this. This self-control, this temperance. And there's certain, when it comes to lack of self-control, there's certain states of mind that we can get into. And I want to discuss several of these. One is the state of denial. And that is, I can't control anything. I can't get on my way. I can't do this. A state of denial. A state of denial is one of those dangerous spiritual states of mind a person can get into. A state of denial. You know, this idea, I can't do any better. Or probably you. My situation, you understand, but I just can't. I can't do this. I can't control this. Someone once said, once you have identified the problem, you have taken a major step in solving the problem. When you see a person with this state of denial, denies that even if God has shown me an answer to my problem, I can do anything. I have no control over it. So this is why it's such a dangerous state of mind to get into. The state of denial will say, I couldn't. You know, I can't do it anyway, even if I knew the root cause of my problem. So, our problem is not that we can't smoke and quit eating, or can't get to work on time, or we're doing this problem, or that sin, or whatever it is. Sometimes the problem can be the state of denial, believing, holding up to the fact that you can't control the grip. The doubts, the state of mind that says, I can't do anything about this. Another misbelief that we have in this area of lack of control is the once fail, always fail misbelief. In other words, because I fail this time, I will always be a failure. It's a lie that we cling to. It's a, you know, it's a security blanket. If not in the teaching of Jesus Christ, He didn't teach that once you fail, you will always be a failure for the rest of your life. In fact, you know, in your childhood, self-control and perseverance has dominated your life. In growing up as a child, you know, the first time you swing at a bat, you didn't. Of course not. The first time Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and getting over and trying it again. You've fallen down, get up and try it again. A lot of times we struggle with that and think, if I can't try until I come up with that, I need an exclusion before I actually try this again. That's another misbelief I think we have, is a lack of self-control. In the area of sin, there are some things, in overcoming sin and self-control, there are some things in our lives that are very, very difficult to control. There's another misbelief I think that we can have, Christians can have, and we're going to figure this one out. Don't jump to the conclusion here. But it is, we get the question of the deity, Jesus or I, in the area of self-control. It is the notion that I didn't do it. The Lord did it for me. He did the self-control. He did it for me. Now we know that our whole sinful self, no good thing can come. We know that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. The Bible says that. We know that you cannot accomplish or gain victory over sin without Him. We understand that, but with the Holy Spirit at work with us, we are doing what? Actually working the good through us. A lot of times we have the approach that the Spirit of God, when you're baptized, is like a computer shield, and you're programmed always to do the right thing. But you know, your free moral agency is a lot as well, and even more so, it seems, after you're baptized. And you still have that. For example, in this area, it's like, you know, faith. You cannot have faith without the gift of faith. But the faith that you have is yours. It's your faith. It's not the Holy Spirit's faith. It's your faith. And so, you know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you. But I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. I'm a strength of God. I help you. I encourage you. But I want to pray that your faith not fail. So we begin a small victory. And when we exercise self-control, sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, I didn't have to do it. Well, sure, you had something to do with it. Through Him, you did it. Through His Spirit, you did it. Now, in my own personal life, and this is something that you have to, you know, sometimes it is best to look at what works for you. You know, if you're doing something from personal experience, and this is working, take note of that. If something is not working, take note of that also. It is very important. But in my own personal life, the times that I have just said to God, Lord, I can't do it. You know, I don't want to give you my problem. I want to give you my sin. You take care of it. I'm glad I said that. It's been my greatest failure for me. You see, I'll explain what I'm talking about. You see, we have a tendency to go from one extreme or the other. One is what I call a self-sufficient person who says, you know, we get up this solution. We say, I want to do this. I'm going with me. I get plan A, B, and C. I'm going to do all this. This is going to work for me. And I'm going to deal with this. The only problem is we leave God out of it. We forget to lay God in to help us out. Here, a self-sufficient man or woman. And we fall because of this. We may fall flat on our face because we've forgotten to invite God in to help us. We go to the other extreme, which is why I call the beautiful loser. It's someone, and where we say, well, I just can't do that. I have no self-control. You take care of my problem. You take care of me. Deal with it. I can't do anything. You know, beautiful loser. There was a song about Bob Seger. He's your oldest and your best friend. He can be anything you'll be there again. You know, and that's true of a lot of beautiful loser. The quote Bob Seger is certainly. I never listened to the words of that song. I thought, what is he talking about? I thought, you know, you don't have to look very far to understand how you look in the mirror. Because there is a potential for a beautiful loser inside of all of us. You know? I'm a loser, but I'm beautiful. But, the beautiful loser. But the meaning of self-control and the Spirit of God working in one's life is where we need to get to. Self-control and the Spirit of God working in one's life. So, okay, Jesus and I, you know, this can also be a way of escaping responsibility. If I can just convince myself, I can do nothing unless the Lord does it for me. And guess what? I'm likely nothing at all. I can just convince myself of this. So there's several, the lack of self-control. There's several. There's a state of denial. There's a misbelief of once failed, always failed. There's a misbelief of needing solution. In the search of a new solution. And there's the misbelief of that I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing at all to do with this self-control. I write to Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, or out of it are the issues of life. One translation will say, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. Guard your affections. I can't think of a more important concept than children need to know that, that we need to know, that teenagers need to know, that just because it's out there doesn't mean that it's right. And guard your affections. I know just recently I was driving down the road and I get these info tags, information tapes about things that are going on in the United States and all around the world for hours long. And I was listening to them going to the front work. And they were talking about, you know, they were talking about eating hot term abortions and kind of getting clinical in that area and some of the fetal material that's used in medicine and the controversy that goes on in that area. And they were talking about some of these sex tours in other countries where you can have a relationship with a lawyer or a price of a hamburger. And it was just, you know, just all in all, it was not a good moment, but it was just telling the truth about our society in which we live. But if I wasn't being extremely depressed one day, I thought, why in the world am I being so down and out and depressed? And I finally just pressed the page out and I thought, well, that was it. You know, it's too much. Tell us, he will say, I'm going to have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. It is not necessary to understand all the evil in the world or to dwell on it. I can get depressed and down by watching, you know, what the world is. And I watch that and I think, well, I can get down from there. So, to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, to guard your affections in this area of needing self-control, for they influence everything else in your life, all your affections. Colossians 3, verse 2, you know, I turn there, this will say, set your affections on things which are above. Set your affections on things which are above. Think about things that are right and good and decent, not on things that are evil. The control that we need in this area. You know, sometimes people can be a downer. I mean, a downer, you work with people who do not have the Spirit of God. And it may have been a downer. Look, I sometimes work with this guy who's been in prison several years. And he's just sort of a rough type of guy and loves wrestling. I get to hear about Rick. there's nothing. It's like Satan sometimes sends us people to bring us down. Is there sometimes people are used as a tool of the tempter, but deliberately? A lot of times you'll be listening to someone and they'll be talking about an area of weakness that you have. They'll be glamorizing this area of weakness that you personally have. Personally, I'm talking about your weakness. There's no coincidence. I think people can be used as a tool of the tempter to bring you down. So guard your affections in this area of control. You can control who you hang around with and who you don't hang around with, and with your friends and your people you interact with. You have this ability to control these areas. Back to Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Sure, you realize you need help. We all need God's help. But there's also our responsibility to control these areas. Verse 16 says, "Know ye not to whom you yield yourself service to obey? His servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience unto righteousness." That scripture tells us a lot. It tells us that it's our choice. It is now our choice. Maybe before it wasn't our choice. Before conversion, but now it is our choice. That's what makes it so tough. Before, our choices were always in the direction of evil, pretty much. But now, we clearly have the two choices before us. Chapters 8 and verse 13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you," that's you, you pinch yourself, right? That's me. "If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Through the Spirit. Control that we have on our own, just completely on our own. It is through the Spirit that we do these things. Now, I want to talk about here a little bit about temperance in temptation. Temperance in temptation. I think a lot of times our approach to temptation is that we avoid or run from or hide from the temptation. In other words, we never face or confront. We run from instead of confronting. Temptation. subject to the index. And there's only one thing to do, and that is to control. And if you control the template, it means, you know, facing up and saying, all right, there it is. What am I going to do about it? Am I going to just wish I weren't here, hide from, run from, or am I going to begin to control this temptation? Because if you run from it, it will, you will succumb to it every time. And we understand that Scripture that says that God did tempt Abraham. The word means test. Are you taking the test? Or are you avoiding the test? Running from the test. And you get sooner or later the test. You have to take the test. Running or confronting your temptation. Running from or confronting your temptation. So this is the area that we are expected to control, to have stubborn self-control. Turn back to another area here in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12.
Is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. With a tongue can no man tame.
is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, the James didn't have a lot of things to say about the tongue and things that in our conversation, words that come out of our mouth. He goes on to say that there would bless me God and the Father, and where would therefore curse me men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Or rather, these things ought not to be. So, you know, the tongue, one translation at the beginning in this will say, dear brothers, don't be eager to tell others their faults, for we all make many mistakes. If anyone can control his tongue, listen to this, if anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has a perfect control over himself in every other way. So what can we conclude about personal? Was always offending others. But we can conclude that there are other areas, maybe in their life, that are not quite right with God. Proving, you know, that he can control his tongue, proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way. Now, someone said, I remember hearing you sermon, and it was a true statement, he said that anytime someone is offended, it is always their fault. If someone's offended, it's their fault because they're offended. Because, and that's biblical, because the Bible says, if you love the law of God, nothing shall offend you. That's Psalms 119, verse 65. It's a true statement. That when someone's offended, it's always their fault. But, you know, the person who says, you know, I'm going to tell this person their fault, and they should not be offended. It is, you know, I've asked the question, how many of us have gotten to that point? Where, you know, I just don't believe in it. And I think there's things that I haven't got the complete love of the law of God yet. But assuming that others, you know, have gotten there also. You know, and I think this is especially great for people in the church. Brothers, offending brothers. You know, if a person has said things to drive away another person in the church, I think there's a very real problem there with that person that needs to be worked on. Listen, Churchill said, any words has never given me indigestion. It's sometimes an idea. I assume that this person should not have been offended. I'm saying, I love the law of God, he doesn't. You know, I'm perfect, he's not. He's not there yet. Assuming that he should not have been offended. So, temperance in this area is very important. Very important, especially in our relationship at church. Suppose that at the end of a 24-hour period when you're you earn yourself $100,000, there's hell before you a ticket for a round trip to a vacation to Hawaii. You're told this Hawaii vacation is yours if you refuse to smoke for 3 days in a row. Great, Shirley says. And then, as a bonus, your benefactor tells you for every week that you do not smoke or take one puff of cigarette, you will receive a certified check for $1,000. Shirley laughs loudly. I see what you mean. With that kind of an offer, I quit smoking in Arabic. I even go on an anti-smoking campaign. You are not helpless. You do have control over your life. You can do what you think may be impossible. What you think may be impossible. You know, all we're talking about there is the psychology of reward. Just a reward. And I know in my own life that there's been times when, you know, I'm planning a vacation, or I'm going to the feast, that somehow, some way, I can, at times, manage to get my act together and do better than I normally do. You know, the reward. And, you know, the Bible has a lot to say. Jesus said, for great is your reward in heaven. The book of Hebrews says, cast not away your covenant. It has great recompense of reward. And toward the end of the book of Revelation, he says, my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. My reward is with me. You know, I can't tell you why eternal life is somehow less than the value of $1,000 bill. I can't tell you why the kingdom of God is less than the value of $1,000 bill. I don't understand it. And one thing I do know, if I'm in a place between you and your problem, between you and your weakness, between you and your sin, between you and your lack of self-control, $1,000 bill, you can do better. We can do better. And I'll be offended by the news and using there. Because this is not your self-control, your problem. My problem is lack of self-control. And if there's a message that I want to get across, it is just that. You can't do better in this area. Be ashamed to stand before God and have Him tell us that. And then go to the voice and say, but you could have done better. Should have done better. And I think it's important in the area of self-control here to understand that indeed we can do better. I'm closing prayer back to 2 Peter 1 verse 5 through 7. 2 Peter.
Temperance, control. If you don't have that temperance,
so it's just all fall away. So the dominoes, unless this one virtue of temperance is there. So let's put it into practice. And it's the one virtue that we have to practice that we come up against every single day of our life. Self-control. In every area that in our lives, each hour, each day, it seems like self-control is an area that we can exercise and that we can have and should have. And understand that we can do better. So let's put into practice temperance or self-control.